It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, last night voters in Houston rejected an anti-discrimination ordinance that would have protected LGBT people and several other groups. We'll talk to a political scientist about the vote and what it means for the anti-discrimination efforts nationwide. First, Republicans have a new House Speaker in Paul Ryan, but the next possible government shutdown looms just over a month away. It's our weekly look at the latest in national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. Also, in those elections yesterday, one of the main races being watched was governor of Kentucky. Polls showed tight race. In the end, a big margin for the Republicans. So is there something wrong with the state of polling? And media bias has been a big topic in the wake of last week's CNBC Republican presidential debate. Harry is here to talk about it all and more. Harry, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me back.
Let's start in Kentucky. Polls, close race, Republican wins by a pretty huge margin. Should we give up on this whole idea of political polling, Harry?
Well, you know, I quit my job earlier today.
Well done.
No, this is just an example of we had only three polls that came out over the final 3 weeks of that campaign. The Democratic candidate, Jack Conway, was polling at about 45-44%, depending on which poll you looked at. And Kentucky's a state that's becoming more and more Republican on the national level. And so if you just look at the polling from that race, you don't just look at the governor's race, but all the rest of them, it seems that pretty much all of the undecided went towards the Republican candidates up and down the ballot, which isn't too shocking, given that it's Kentucky, a state that Mitt Romney carried by 23 points. I should also point out, in Mississippi, the polling was actually pretty good, but nobody likes to talk about when the polling's right, only when it's wrong.
Well, yeah, and generally polls, especially on bigger races, higher turnout races, generally pretty solid.
Right. So, you know, this is a type of thing that I'm not too worried about, you know, for the 2016 general election. You know, most voters turn out in those elections versus these off-year races where it's much more difficult to know who's going to turn out. And you have to have some sort of turnout model. So it's possible that the turnout model that the pollsters are using in Kentucky simply included too many Democrats in it. But next year in the primaries, we'll see. Maybe they might include too many people who won't actually vote, and that's something to keep an eye on. But for the general election, as we're looking to, I'm guessing Hillary Clinton versus whomever the Republicans nominate, I'm not too worried about a polling miscue there. But in the primaries, it could be a big deal.
Is it a problem in off years? This is not a big election year, obviously, so you don't have a lot of national polling groups out in the field who might have done, you know, the presidential race in Kentucky. And, oh, there's a governor's race. We'll poll on that, too. So you have a smaller sample of polls to work with.
Yeah, you have a much smaller sample. So, you know, if you look at a lot of the races, you know, in 2014 where, the you know, Republicans were again underestimated, but usually there was at least one or two polls that got the result right. In Kentucky, we just had so few polls to go off of that when I looked at the race on Monday, I think the best you could say was, hey, the polls show that Jack Conway, the Democrats, ahead, but it's a small margin, and it's a Republican state, so we don't really know what's going to happen. Now we do know what happened, and Jack Conway's not going to be the next governor of Kentucky.
Well, let's stay with polling and move to that presidential race next year. New stuff coming out showing some shifting at the top in that crowded Republican field. What are we seeing?
Well, you know, we see different things if we look nationally than if we look in Iowa and New Hampshire. Nationally, we see, if you look, you know, for instance, at the Real Clear Politics average, for the first time since mid-July, somebody besides Donald Trump is leading that field. It's Ben Carson, who's been doing fairly well in the national polls, at least the ones that are conducted using live interviewers. Carson's leading in most of them. If you're looking in Iowa, Ted Cruz is moving up a little bit. And if you're looking in New Hampshire, Marco Rubio seems to be on the move. He's now in a clear third place to Trump and Carson.
How do we evaluate somebody like Rubio's chances of winning the nomination based on the numbers as they stand now?
I think that if you spoke with most people who have a job that's either mine, that is talking to me, or people similar to me, you would think that Marco Rubio probably has the best chance of winning the nomination. And it's not just because he's moving up in the polls in New Hampshire right now or moving up nationally. He's doing as well nationally as he did when he first announced. It's his high peak, high point. But if you look at his favorable ratings, they are much higher than, say, Donald Trump's or Jeb Bush's. The only one who beats him is Ben Carson. And more than that, we look at endorsements. Endorsements tell us a lot. That's what history tells us. And Rubio has gotten three senators to endorse him over the last week. That's more senators than have endorsed any other candidate except for Jeb Bush, who has three himself. But all of Rubio's are coming now. There's a real sense of momentum with him.
Yeah, and Jeb Bush polls bad news again and again. He's got the money. He's got, to the extent anybody has endorsements, he has those. What's happening?
I think that this is, you know, an example of you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force him to drink it. You know, Jeb Bush came into this race with a huge money advantage. He's had a lot of ads on the air in Iowa and New Hampshire, and the numbers just simply haven't moved. In fact, if they've moved anywhere, they've moved downward. His favorable ratings have dropped. He was only at 4% in the Quinnipiac poll that was taken nationally and released earlier today. And yes, he has the endorsements, but as you hinted at, he didn't have that many endorsements. It's just that nobody's really endorsed, and he had the most, but it's, you know, the biggest piece of a very small pie. Most Republicans have been standing on the sidelines waiting to choose a candidate, and right now, at least it seems that they're moving in Rubio's direction, but it's still very early. Even Rubio doesn't have that many endorsements yet.
Talking to Harry Enten from 538 about the top stories in national politics, big response to last week's Republican debate. Actually, during the debate, it was about the candidates versus the moderators. Is this, as Republican candidates and the Republican Party is saying, was this a biased panel of moderators?
Well, you know, this is something that Republican candidates have loved to do. You know, you remember in the 2012 South Carolina debate, you heard Newt Gingrich going after the moderators, saying that these are garbage questions and we should move on. We should have real substantive questions. And then he tried to do it again later. Mitt Romney cut him off and said, no, answer the question. But this is an old trick that's pulled out over and over again. If you look at the polls over time, you see Republicans are much less trusting of the national media than Democrats are. There was one poll that was conducted that showed only 20% of Republicans believe that the mainstream media was without bias. So, you know, someone like Ted Cruz, who was one of the first to bring it out, he knows what he's doing. Whether or not the questions were actually biased, I'll leave that up to your listeners to exactly say, but it was a very smart play in my book.
Talking about the media, they used to say never pick a fight with anyone who buys ink by the barrel. There's not that much ink bought these days. The media not loved. They don't have that clout that they used to.
They don't have that clout. And remember, most of the people who are watching and listening to these debates are people who either get their news from Fox or people who get their news from Rush Limbaugh. So if you're attacking somebody with CNBC in front of you, of their name, that they're a member of that news organization, which is connected with NBC News, that's just a very smart play if you're in a Republican primary and a Republican debate, because it's something that speaks across the Republican Party. Republican Party is divided on a lot of issues, but media bias is not one of them.
Well, let's turn to Congress, where Republicans have a new House Speaker. Now, of course, we have this budget deal, so we don't need to worry about shutdowns anymore. Uh-oh, wait, there's talk of maybe a shutdown standoff next month. So what's going on there?
Sure. You know, we know they have a deal. You know, how much money is going to be spent? I believe it's $1.1 trillion. It's just a matter of how it's spent and, you know, what riders are attached. Most of the conversations, if you read most of the stuff, you listen to what most of the Republican congressmen are saying, it's that there probably won't be a shutdown over things like Planned Parenthood because they want to give Paul Ryan a chance, give him a honeymoon period. But if there's one thing that we have learned over the past few months from this Republican caucus, is that they're unpredictable. I mean, Kevin McCarthy looked like he was going to be the next Speaker of the House one minute, and the next minute he wasn't. Of course, Paul Ryan is considerably more conservative, has considerably more credit with the different factions of the Republican caucus. So most people don't believe that there's going to be a shutdown, but it's something to keep an eye out on.
And Ryan's saying, hey, I'm going to run the show in a different way here, more openness, more debates, more amendments debated and added or rejected. Talk about his style here as Speaker, at least what he says he's going to do.
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that he's going to do is he wants an advisory panel where he's going to have the different, you know, main caucuses of the Republican Party coming together, including the Freedom Caucus, which gave McCarthy and Boehner so many troubles. look, Ryan, as I said, just simply has much more credit on this. He's somebody who's, you know, has a much more conservative voting record. If you look at that record, at least at the ways that people like I, you know, sort of analyze them, it shows that he tends to be more on the anti-establishment wing than the establishment wing. So these people seem to be willing to give him a chance. You know, you listen to someone like Steve King out of Iowa. He is saying, look, we need to give him a honeymoon period. We need to give him a chance. And so right now, Ryan is talking the talk. Of course, there's a difference between talking the talk and walking the walk, and we're in that honeymoon period. You know, Boehner had a honeymoon period, too, and then that honeymoon period went adios amigos very, very quickly. So we won't be able to know exactly what's going on and for at least a few months.
Having that advisory council, having a couple of members of that Freedom Caucus at the table, do you think, regardless of the substance of what they're debating, do you think having them there early is going to maybe defuse potential conflicts?
Sure. I mean, this is like one of those things, you know, if you're part of a family, right, you can, what you really want is your voice to be heard and felt like that your parents are listening to you. And I guess the speaker is kind of like the ultimate parent, right? He runs the show, or she runs the show. And so, yes, I think that's one of the things that you're hearing from a lot of these Republicans in Congress is they're very happy that their voice is at least getting heard. Look, no one's going to get their way 100% of the time, but what they want is a fair shot. And right now they feel that Ryan is giving them that fair shot.
Harry, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time with the latest in national politics.